What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of At Your Service right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Dave Simons filling in. The day job is as a certified financial planner and head of the Simons & Cordes Wealth Management Group, located within the friendly confines of UBS Financial Services. But occasionally, my lovely wife lets me out for good behavior, and I can come out at night sometimes and host this show as a fill-in host, and I love it, and I'm glad to be here talking to all of you this evening. Now, to show you how much of a nerd or a geek I can be with all this financial stuff, I know I was getting all like ramped up over NVIDIA earnings. I mean, who does that? Well, me. So here in the second hour, we're going to go a different route, and we're going to calm things down. We're going to talk about something that just lowers the blood pressure. So I figured let's talk about politics. That will do it. Everybody will say, that's terrific, Dave. Let's talk about Donald Trump. And let's talk about Joe Biden. And let's talk about the wonderful world of politics and what's going on in Washington, D.C. And we'll just sit around a campfire and sing Kumbaya, right? It doesn't work that way. However, with that said, I'm going to do a little bit of my Hancock and Kelly routine, and we will talk some politics. And now, obviously, what I do for a living can be impacted by politics, but as I've mentioned on this show before and written many times in my weekly commentary over the years, people tend to overestimate the importance of politics and especially elections on the direction of the stock market. History bears this out. Elections very rarely, almost never, have any major impact on the market. If anything, people get caught up in their own ideology. And if that guy wins, the other guy, well, look out, the market's going to crash. And it never does. The market's never crashed, ever, following an election. The only time that it really started to show some breaking, some cracking, it really didn't have anything to do with an individual winning. If you go back to 2000, the hanging Chad fiasco that we had that went all the way up to the Supreme Court as they were looking at what was going on in Florida, market doesn't like that kind of stuff for obvious reasons. We didn't know where this thing was going. And so while we didn't officially have a declared presidential winner, even though it looked like it was going to be George W., but that wasn't official yet, market pulled back a little bit. But that's it. Once it was declared, the Supreme Court said this is the way it's going to be. Then obviously the market started to go back up a little bit. Now, it was caught up in a bear market and eventually 9-1-1 and all that. But again, it had nothing to do with the election. So I know that people who are you Trumpers out there, you're claiming that if Joe Biden wins, the market's going to crash. And you Biden people out there, the liberals among us will say, oh, my gosh, if that guy wins, this is going to be terrible for America and the market's going to crash. And I'm telling you, you have a right to talk about the other guy in very negative ways. That's not what I'm talking about. There's certainly some legitimate criticism out there. I'm just staying in my lane of expertise and telling you that no matter who wins, it is not going to have a major negative impact on the market. I'm telling you, it just will not. And you can look at both of these people, Donald Trump and Joe Biden. We have a history here. They've both been president, right? When Donald Trump was running, there was a cry among the left and well-known people like a Paul Krugman, the liberal economist for the New York Times, who was saying if Donald Trump wins the election, we are going to have a major crash and we'll go and the economy will fall into a recession. And he couldn't have been more wrong. He got caught up in his own ideology on that. And the market, of course, did very, very well. But it worked the other way. If that old guy Joe Biden actually beats Donald Trump in 2020, this was the cry here, then I want out. Market's going to crash. It's going to do terrible. We're going to become a socialist country. And what happened? The market went straight up after he won. 2021 was a very strong year for the market. Now 22 was down, but I'm talking about again the aftermath of the election. And the market went down, of course, because the Fed started to jack up interest rates aggressively to fend off inflation. So with all of that said, I want to have a little fun with this. Again, I just love this kind of statistical stuff. I don't know if how many of you have ever heard of this thing called predicted odds. Predicted is actually a firm that takes a lot of information. So it takes polling data. It takes sentiment indicators. It takes all kinds of other stuff. And it acts like a Las Vegas casino, where you can actually gamble to say, how much do I have to bet to win a dollar? So let's say I think that Joe Biden is going to win. How much do I have to put down? Well, they have odds like this. So let's have some fun with this, and I'll tell you what it looks like right now. Again, this is not percentages. These are cents on the dollar, which I'll explain. So here's one. Who is going to be the Democratic nominee for president? Okay, that's one of the questions. What are the odds? And most people would say, well, it looks like it's going to be Joe Biden. Okay, well, you have to put down 74 cents to win a dollar. So for every 74 cents that you put down and Joe Biden indeed wins, you get a dollar. You think, okay, that wins a little bit, but those aren't, I mean, that's not going to make me a fortune. Okay, well, then go with Gavin Newsom, because if you only put down 16 cents and somehow Gavin Newsom wins because Biden steps aside or the DNC gets involved and says, Joe, we just can't do this. You're hurting the party. And that guy, Donald Trump, is going to win if you win. So step aside, Gavin, come in. All right, well, you can make a lot of money on that bet. Only put down 16 cents and you win a dollar. That's the odds right now on the predicted site. Here's another interesting one. The GOP presidential nominee. Well, it's not even close. You think Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for the GOP? To win a dollar, you have to put down 88 cents. That's hardly worth it. Is there a little risk that you would lose all 88 cents? Yeah, I guess there is. But way down there is Nikki Haley at 6 cents. So in other words, Gavin Newsom, according to the odds here, has a better chance to run for president on the Democratic side than Nikki Haley does to eventually beat Donald Trump and run on the Republican side. I just love this kind of stuff. This is fascinating to me. I'm going to give you just a couple more here. How about this? Republican vice president nominee. Assuming it's going to be Trump who wins the nomination, who does he pick? the front runner, according to predicted odds. And actually, you can make money no matter what, because nobody is the clear favorite here. But right now, leading is South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem at 21 cents. If you bet for her, you put down 21 cents and you'll win a dollar. I mean, you're five times your money. Not too far behind is Vivek Ramaswamy. That kind of surprises me, frankly. I thought he was long out of the picture, but I don't know. He is a big Trump supporter, willing to carry his water and perhaps do more. 17 cents gets to a dollar. One more, and this to me is I think, the most fascinating at all. Listen to this now. Listen to the numbers, because these things, at first glance, when you first hear them, they won't make any sense of these two set side by side. Again, according to predicted odds, it was asked, the 2024 presidential election, who wins between Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Assuming that both men win their nomination. So let's just make that assumption. This is the most important question, right? When we're talking about this, who's going to win? Well, if you put money down on Donald Trump, you just have to put down 46 cents and you win a dollar. If you pick Joe Biden, you only have to put down 40 cents and you win a dollar. So obviously, the odds are favoring Donald Trump. You don't get quite the bigger bang for your buck, although it's somewhat close. It's not like really wide. But here's why I find this fascinating. When you connect that to the very next question, which party will win the presidency in 2024? Think about that now. We just talked about the individuals, Donald Trump, of course, who represents the Republican Party, and Joe Biden, incumbent on the Democrat side. Trump leads 46 cents to 40 cents. But it's reversed when you look at the party. The Republican Party, you have to put down 49 cents to win a dollar, but only 54 cents to win a dollar on the Democrat side. So when you look at the party, the Democrats have better odds to win the White House. But when you look at individuals, Trump and the GOP has better odds. And you think, like, wait a minute, what am I missing? Well, think about this. There are enough folks out there who think that perhaps Trump's legal troubles could spell the end of him by November. And it may be somebody else. It may not necessarily be Nikki Haley, but it could be somebody else. So it's almost like you're hedging your bets. Okay, on this case, I'm going to say that Trump will likely beat Biden, so I'm going to bet there. But just in case Trump doesn't make it, I'm going to hedge my bet on this and say someone as a Democrat will win. And it's not just that Trump may not make it. There's also part of that equation. Maybe Biden really does step aside, and it's a Democrat who has a better chance to beat Donald Trump. Again, fascinating about this, and I love this stuff. Now, let's keep with politics, and I'm going to stay within my lane here. When we come back here, I think it's important to look at the differences between these two presumptive nominees and how they look at our debt, taxes, the stock market. We have a history here again. We don't have to guess, because we can look at 4 years, basically, of both men and what they're saying going forward. So anything to do with investing, economics, and finance, let's dig into this, the similarities and differences between the two men, right after this.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It is 9:22 in St. Louis. Welcome back. Dave Simons filling in tonight or at your service. Man, it just seems like everybody says the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, libertarian, somewhere in the middle, independent. Everyone is like lamenting politics this year. And we can't believe it's those two guys again. But I push back on everybody and I say this. Look, if everybody doesn't want these two same guys to run like 2020, don't we have some say? I mean, we all talk a big game, but we let it happen. Don't we have some power? And I would say yes and no in that. I had a conversation once with John Hancock about this, and I can't say I fully understand it. He knows the mechanics of this and how the sausage is made politically, but he talks about the entire situation with primaries and caucuses and kind of how they're set up. And this is kind of the nature of modern politics, is it's very, very difficult when some of the backroom dealings are happening to get other voices in. And this is kind of what we push up against. But I still believe that if we made enough noise, you know what I think it is? When we say we don't want these two people again, I can't believe it. In a country of 330 million, we have to have these two guys again. I think what a lot of people are really saying, even though maybe they don't realize it or won't say it, is, well, I just don't want that other guy to run. I mean, my guy, he may not be the best. He's got some problems, but it's the other guy, man. If that guy wins, this country is doomed. I can't believe this is where we are again. I think that's the majority of it, because if we all really did not like either one and we really wanted somebody else on the Republican side, then we'd have it. But the polls clearly show that most registered Republicans want Donald Trump as the nominee. So I find it a little bit hypocritical if I see or hear from Republicans saying, oh, I can't believe it's these two guys again. Yeah, but you're supporting one of them. So what you're really saying is you just don't want Biden to run again. I mean, just admit that, or you don't want him to win or whatever. And on the left, if you really didn't want both men, I understand why you're not wanting Trump there. But if you don't want your own guy, Joe Biden, shouldn't there be pressure on your DNC folks? I don't know. I guess what, Joe Biden's a dictator within the DNC and he will not even allow him to be cornered by others to say, Joe, you're just going to have to step aside. And, you know, you're going to play an LBJ of 1968 here. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud. I think we get what we deserve. And ultimately, secretly, I think people kind of want this, at least on their side of things. That's where we are. So as I look at this from my lane on finance, investing, economics, and all that, there are a few things that I really look at. And some of the things these men are very similar on, believe it or not. And I'll start with one of that, and that is on the deficits. Look, nobody is a hero here in trying to combat our debt. Nobody. This is not an opinion here. These are the facts. Under the Trump administration, our deficit went up $8.4 trillion. That's a fact. Now, people can argue why that happened and all that. He had to, whatever. I'm just telling you, that's what happened. It went up $8.4 trillion. Under Joe Biden, he hasn't been in there the full 4 years. Right now, it stands at $4 trillion. It's probably going to be even higher than that by the time his first term is over. So neither one has really been serious about combating our growing debt problem. And frankly, it's not just the two leaders of each party. It's both parties overall. Neither Democrats or Republicans really have made any. Honestly, they've not made a serious effort to close that spending gap and reduce spending. It's just not going to happen. So I don't think that you're going to see a major difference with either one of those. I think where you're going to see some differences will come in things like taxes. That's a big one. We know that. Donald Trump and his supporters will clearly point to one of their signature moments was passing the so-called, what we call the Trump tax cuts of 2017. Now, to compromise and to get some of the Democrats involved, they had to agree to allow a lot of the tax cuts to expire at the end of next year in 2025. That's going to be a biggie because Donald Trump and his supporters have been very clear. You elect us and we're going to keep these tax cuts going. Of course, they need Congress to help out, but that's another story. At least that's the plank and the platform that they're running on. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has been very clear. You elect me and these things expire. We're going to see some new tax laws. And so for the Biden administration, what they're looking to do is let the tax cuts expire for only people making $400,000. So that would go automatically back to the previous higher levels pre-2017. But not only that, Biden then said that he would make tax rates higher still than they were even pre-2017 on people making more than $400,000. And on top of that, he wants an increase in the corporate tax rate, a higher tax on stock buybacks, among other things. So clear difference. I'm not going to necessarily jump in with my own opinion. It's probably clear to a lot of people. You can make your own opinion. These are just the facts. And these are the two sides and how these gentlemen see the difference in taxes. What about tariffs? Now, I think this is very, very interesting. This is another thing that Donald Trump will look at and say, I'm very proud of how I took on China. Sharp increase on tariffs of U.S. imports from China. You know that is a fact. And it did raise tens of billions of dollars in extra revenue. That is a fact. Now, a lot of businesses were hurt by that because then China retaliated with their own tariffs. So it wasn't perfect and it wasn't clean as much as they would like to say. But it did bring in extra revenue and it did try to level the playing field. Now, when Biden ran, a lot of his supporters thought that he would do away with the Trump tariffs, and he didn't. Biden surprised his critics. He kept those Chinese tariffs in place. Now, what he says going forward, I want to become more targeted. This is Biden saying. He says that he wants to continue to keep U.S. technology out of Chinese hands through various use of, you know, sanctions, export controls, what have you, and taking some steps to limit some of the U.S. investment in China. So he wants to get a little bit more targeted. Meanwhile, Trump is going full force, if you've heard this. Not only am I going to keep the tariffs in place, he says, I'm going to increase tariffs on China up to 60% to finish the job that I started. And I'm not done yet. I'm going to put a 10% tariff on U.S. imports from every country in the world because we are tired of getting taken advantage of. Those are his words. Okay, you're going to have a tariff war. Just know that that is the difference. And this is all public knowledge. And I'll give you one more. And that's on the area that we all know and love, and that's the stock market. So when it comes to the stock market, we're not really predicting for the future. Again, we'll just look at the facts. Even accounting for about a 35% sell-off during that the five-week period when the economy shut down in the spring of 20, even accounting for that, the S&P went up 83% during Trump's four terms. It was a very successful period for Donald Trump being a president when it comes to the stock market. Now, Joe Biden, nothing to sneeze at here. The market so far has rallied about 35%, and he's still not done yet. So who knows where that percentage. So obviously Trump is going to win, if that's how we're looking at this. And his 35% for Biden comes even with 2022 having a true bear market when the S&P fell about 25% at one point during the year. So it's more about what you think the market will do. In my personal opinion, again, you're not going to see a major sell-off if either one wins, but I think you could see more of an immediate increase right after Trump wins, just like we saw in 16. And that's because you're going to see a lot of people who are thinking that the tax cuts are going to stay permanent and other business-friendly Republican policies. I'm not getting my own personal politics involved here. This is just based on history, based on my own observations of what has happened in the past, and I have no reason to believe that can't be extrapolated out into the future. So it's a little policy discussion here, talking about the two presumptive nominees and how we see things maybe playing out based on the men, their own words, going forward. All right, come back. I'm going to get into my latest podcast that just came out last week. And I think you're going to find this fascinating. We're going to play a little snippet of it and describe what we're listening to. So stay with us. Come right back. You're listening to At Your Service. Dave Simon's filling in tonight.
Nearly a century of informing, entertaining, and serving St. Louis. KMOX.
Great Mark Knopfler. Welcome back, everybody. It's 9:37. Dave Simon's filling in tonight or At Your Service. So we, as human beings, dare I say we tend to overcomplicate things. We take the simple and we make them complex, and there's no reason to do that. It happens whether or not we are, let's say, looking to lose weight. We look for some diet plan, and honestly, it's not that complicated. Not saying it's not hard, but we look for some wild, weird, wacky new diet fad that somebody told us about. And if you eat a bunch of this, but don't eat that and do that, you know, Weight Watchers figured this out decades ago. It's about portion size. It's about just keeping things simple and doing a little bit of exercise. You don't need to be more complicated than that. It segues over into financial planning. For those of you who put together kind of a plan for your life, you don't need to overcomplicate it, but we tend to do so. I'm not kidding when I say you can dumb these things down and still meet your objectives. That overall was the theme of, and is the theme of, my latest little quick hit podcast that I've been doing now for about 10 months, and I'm loving it. They come out every Wednesday morning. So the one that came out last Wednesday, and you can find it on YouTube, Simon Says Quick Hit. So I'm going to play a portion of it right now. And when we come back, I'll kind of give you some context of it and tell you what's about to come out tomorrow. So here is the Simon Says podcast that was released last week, just simply called Keeping It Simple.
The most important factor of living a long life, and I mean really long life, genetics. Every study has shown that, yes, a relatively healthy lifestyle, eating right, some modicum amount of exercise, walking, whatever, that's all very, very important. You increase your odds. But the biggest factor of living a long life is how you pick your parents and grandparents. And with that, apparently, I had some pretty good skill. I picked them right. I was well into my 40s when still all of my grandparents on both sides were still alive. I think that's pretty unique. They were all well into their 80s. And even today, in my early 60s, both of my parents are still alive. So the genetics are there. I didn't earn it. I'm not even saying I deserved it. It's a gift. So now I have to take that baton and I have to do the heavy lifting from here if I have any chance to live up to that century mark. And that is, like I said, a relatively healthy lifestyle. Eat right, not perfectly, moderation, some amount of exercise. I know I overdo it a little bit there, but at some point as I get older, that will automatically start to come down. And don't do stupid stuff. All right? I should not become a drug addict all of a sudden at my advancing age. I should not jump on a motorcycle and do wheelies going 100 miles an hour without a helmet. No, avoid the stupid stuff, and I increase my odds. And notice I said relatively healthy lifestyle. Here's the deal. Too many of us are always trying to find that magic recipe, that magic stew that somebody found somewhere that is going to guarantee us a lifestyle up to 95, 100, and beyond. And we still have our brain that's working and our body that's working. We're saying, we're going to follow that plan. And it's a bunch of hogwash. Look, I've done a lot of research on this and read a lot of books. And what I love are personal stories. That's really where you get it, okay? Listen to the people who have actually made it. What did you do? Was there any magic secret? Was there the secret sauce that got you there? And what I have found is, no. No, there's really no commonality among all the centenarians out there. It's all about the relatively healthy lifestyle. And that is, many of them were meat and potatoes people. Think about it. The 100-year-olds plus today were all born in the early 1920s and before. These were traditional Americans. And I'm amazed and pleasantly surprised that many of them, I remember one woman in particular, I think she was like 106 years old. She still had her little bowl of ice cream every night. That woman's my hero. I love my ice cream. And it was just like one little scoop every night. Is that in anyone's perfect diet? No. But it was probably genetics for her, right? And a relatively healthy lifestyle in moderation. There was one gentleman who lived to be, he was over 100, and he talked about that he still did, get this, his little shot of bourbon every night. Right, I think it was right before, maybe right after dinner, I don't remember. Little shot of bourbon. Now, I'm not recommending that, not necessarily my style, but you see my point. That wouldn't necessarily show up in the perfect fad diet to have your ice cream and your bourbon, and yet they live to be 100. Genetics and a relatively healthy lifestyle. Second, to add to that, this is a little bit more hard. It's harder to quantify, and that is a positive attitude. That, if there's anything that is a common theme among all the centenarians that I read about, I didn't really find anyone that I could tell is just soured on life. Now, yes, they have every right to complain about all the aches and pains and how maybe they don't have as many friends who can come by anymore and family members and things like that. We get that. But they still found a way to be satisfied with the joys that they did have in life. You don't find a lot of 100-year-olds who are really cynical and the get off my lawn kind of attitude. They have just found a way to just count their blessings and move on with their life. And I think those are the two main common themes. Number one, there isn't a common theme in a way, which is a common theme. In other words, no perfect diet, no perfect routine. They're not on the internet looking at somebody trying to sell them something that's going to guarantee a long lifestyle. No, they just live their life in moderation. And then number two, that positive, happy attitude. Too many people try to overcomplicate this. Really, they take something that's actually rather simple. I know it can be difficult to live a life in relative moderation, but it is simple. And we make it complex. We put all these extra things, like we get very restrictive. Well, I have a friend who's on this particular diet and they don't eat any of this stuff. And by the way, I don't mean to knock any of that. If that's what you're doing and you're happy with it and you feel good, knock yourself out. That's not my point. This is all about trying to live the longest life you can. And I'm saying there is no proof, there is no data that says there is that perfect diet, that magic pill that gets you there. We do the same thing in investing. We really do. We overcomplicate things. It might be hard at times to stay with the plan, but it is a relatively simple thing to follow. Let me give you an example here. And I bet some of you have experienced this, what I'm about to describe. You are looking to hire a financial advisor, and you go in and you have a really good first meeting. You have a connection to this person and their team, and they ask all the right questions. They're getting to learn who you are, where you come from, what makes you tick. When do you want to retire? Or if you're in retirement, where are the income sources coming from? What's your tolerance for risk? That's always a big thing. We talk about that a lot on the Simon Says podcast. That's something that is so essential in building out a plan, and where are your hot buttons? And you have a really good first meeting. And so the advisor says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all this information and the data that I've gathered about you, and I'm going to build a financial plan for you. So let's set up a second meeting. You'll come back in. We'll discuss it. And if there's a fit and you like what you see, then maybe we can talk about doing business together. And you're like, that sounds like a great plan. And you go home with your sweet honey and you talk about it and say, you know, that guy or that gal was really nice. And then you go back in for the second meeting. And the advisor, with a smile and glee in his eyes, says, I've got your financial plan, and it's right here. Now, it's about 800 pages long, and, you know, read through it and see what you think. And it makes that big clunky sound. Now, this is a medical book here, but it serves the purpose of this. I'm barely exaggerating, by the way, on something like that. I'll put this aside. Have you ever experienced something like that? Maybe you've done that yourself. If you're a do-it-yourself investor, you put together this big plan. Folks, let me tell you something. The more complex a plan is, doesn't make it a better plan. It actually makes it worse. You won't follow it. I think part of this might be intentional on some advisors' parts, honestly. It's to show, look at all the hard work I did. Look at all of the data that I put in and the work that I put into this. And also, yeah, there's an inference here. Yeah, this is really complex stuff. I know you're going to take this home. Now, he's never going to admit this publicly, but what he's thinking, he's hoping that you're thinking, you're never going to understand all this, all these graphs and charts and all that. And so that just shows you that you're going to need to hire the person who put that together, because I'm the only one who's going to understand how the sausage is made here. I'm the only one who understands the mechanical part of this. Oh, honey, we better hire this guy. Hogwash. Make the complex simple. You know where you want to go in life. You put together a plan, and yeah, there are a lot of moving parts. I don't mean to diminish all the important parts to this. You know, here's the thing. Peter Lynch, the great mutual fund manager of Fidelity Magellan fame back in the 70s and 80s especially, Peter Lynch, he said something that I'll never forget, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, if you cannot explain to me why I should buy a stock by using a crayon and write it on an envelope, if you can't explain to me why I should buy a stock using these two things, I don't want to hear about it. What is he saying? Keep it simple, stupid, right? That's the ultimate of that mantra. Lynch also was famous for saying back in the day when we actually had malls everywhere, and he would say, buy what you know. You go into a mall.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Nearly a century of informing, entertaining, and serving St. Louis. KMOX.
Ah, yes, the great Mark Knopfler. Welcome back, everybody. It's 9:37. Dave Simon's filling in tonight or at your service. So we, as human beings, dare I say, we tend to overcomplicate things. We take the simple and we make them complex, and there's no reason to do that. It happens whether or not we are, let's say, looking to lose weight. We look for some diet plan, and honestly, it's not that complicated. I'm not saying it's not hard, but we look for some wild, weird, wacky new diet fad that somebody told us about. And if you eat a bunch of this, but don't eat that and do it. You know, Weight Watchers figured this out decades ago. It's about portion size. It's about just keeping things simple and doing a little bit of exercise. You don't need to be more complicated than that. It segues over into financial planning. For those of you who put together kind of a plan for your life, you don't need to overcomplicate it, but we tend to do so. I'm not kidding when I say you can dumb these things down and still meet your objectives. That overall was the theme of, and is the theme of, my latest little quick hit podcast that I've been doing now for about 10 months, and I'm loving it. They come out every Wednesday morning. So the one that came out last Wednesday, and you can find it on YouTube, Simon Says Quick Hit. So I'm going to play a portion of it right now. And when we come back, I'll kind of give you some context of it and tell you what's about to come out tomorrow. So here is the Simon Says podcast that was released last week, just simply called Keeping It Simple.
The most important factor of living a long life, and I mean really long life, genetics. Every study has shown that, yes, a relatively healthy lifestyle, eating right, some modicum amount of exercise, walking, whatever, that's all very, very important. You increase your odds. But the biggest factor of living a long life is how you pick your parents and grandparents. And with that, apparently, I had some pretty good skill. I picked them right. I was well into my 40s when still all of my grandparents on both sides were still alive. I think that's pretty unique. They were all well into their 80s. And even today, in my early 60s, both of my parents are still alive. So the genetics are there. I didn't earn it. I'm not even saying I deserved it. It's a gift. So now I have to take that baton and I have to do the heavy lifting from here if I have any chance to live up to that century mark. And that is, like I said, a relatively healthy lifestyle. Eat right, not perfectly, moderation, some amount of exercise. I know I overdo it a little bit there, but at some point as I get older, that will automatically start to come down. And don't do stupid stuff. All right, I should not become a drug addict all of a sudden at my advancing age. I should not jump on a motorcycle and do wheelies going 100 miles an hour without a helmet. No, avoid the stupid stuff, and I increase my odds. And notice I said relatively healthy lifestyle. Here's the deal. Too many of us are always trying to find that magic recipe, that magic stew that somebody found somewhere that is going to guarantee us a lifestyle up to 95, 100, and beyond. And we still have our brain that's working and our body that's working. We're saying, we're going to follow that plan. And it's a bunch of hogwash. Look, I've done a lot of research on this and read a lot of books. And what I love are personal stories. That's really where you get it, okay? Listen to the people who have actually made it. What did you do? Was there any magic secret? Was there the secret sauce that got you there? And what I have found is no. No, there's really no commonality among all the centenarians out there. It's all about the relatively healthy lifestyle. And that is, many of them were meat and potatoes people. Think about it. The 100-year-olds plus today were all born in the early 1920s and before. These were traditional Americans. And I'm amazed and pleasantly surprised that many of them, I remember one woman in particular, I think she was like 106 years old. She still had her little bowl of ice cream every night. That woman's my hero. I love my ice cream. And it was just like one little scoop every night. Is that in anyone's perfect diet? No. But it was probably genetics for her, right? And a relatively healthy lifestyle in moderation. There was one gentleman who lived to be, he was over 100, and he talked about that he still did, get this, his little shot of bourbon every night. Right, I think it was right before, maybe right after dinner, I don't remember. Little shot of bourbon. Now, I'm not recommending that, not necessarily my style, but you see my point. That wouldn't necessarily show up in the perfect fad diet to have your ice cream and your bourbon, and yet they live to be 100. Genetics and a relatively healthy lifestyle. Second, to add to that, this is a little bit more hard. It's harder to quantify, and that is a positive attitude. That, if there's anything that is a common theme among all the centenarians that I read about, I didn't really find anyone that I could tell is just soured on life. Now, yes, they have every right to complain about all the aches and pains and how maybe they don't have as many friends who can come by anymore and family members and things like that. We get that. But they still found a way to be satisfied with the joys that they did have in life. You don't find a lot of 100-year-olds who are really cynical and the get off my lawn kind of attitude. They have just found a way to just count their blessings and move on with their life. And I think those are the two main common themes. Number one, there isn't a common theme in a way, which is a common theme. In other words, no perfect diet, no perfect routine. They're not on the internet looking at somebody trying to sell them something that's going to guarantee a long lifestyle. No, they just live their life in moderation. And then number two, that positive, happy attitude. Too many people try to overcomplicate this. Really, they take something that's actually rather simple. I know it can be difficult to live a life in relative moderation, but it is simple. And we make it complex. We put all these extra things, of, like we get very restrictive. Well, I have a friend who's on this particular diet and they don't eat any of this stuff. And by the way, I don't mean to knock any of that. If that's what you're doing and you're happy with it and you feel good, knock yourself out. That's not my point. This is all about trying to live the longest life you can. And I'm saying there is no proof, there is no data that says there is that perfect diet, that magic pill that gets you there. We do the same thing in investing. We really do. We overcomplicate things. It might be hard at times to stay with the plan, but it is a relatively simple thing to follow. Let me give you an example here. And I bet some of you have experienced this, what I'm about to describe. You are looking to hire a financial advisor. And you go in and you have a really good first meeting. You have a connection to this person and their team, and they ask all the right questions. They're getting to learn who you are, where you come from, what makes you tick, when do you want to retire, or if you're in retirement, where are the income sources coming from, what's your tolerance for risk? That's always a big thing. We talk about that a lot on the Simon Says podcast. That's something that is so essential in building out a plan, and where are your hot buttons. And you have a really good first meeting. And so the advisor says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all this information and the data that I've gathered about you, and I'm going to build a financial plan for you. So let's set up a second meeting. You'll come back in. We'll discuss it. And if there's a fit and you like what you see, then maybe we can talk about doing business together. And you're like, that sounds like a great plan. And you go home with your sweet honey and you talk about it and say, you know, that guy or that gal was really nice. And then you go back in for the second meeting, and the advisor, with a smile and glee in his eyes, says, I've got your financial plan, and it's right here. Now, it's about 800 pages long, and, you know, read through it and see what you think. And it makes that big clunky sound. Now, this is a medical book here, but it serves the purpose of this. I'm barely exaggerating, by the way, on something like that. I'll put this aside. Have you ever experienced something like that? Maybe you've done that yourself. If you're a do-it-yourself investor, you put together this big plan. Folks, let me tell you something. The more complex a plan is, doesn't make it a better plan. It actually makes it worse. You won't follow it. I think part of this might be intentional on some advisors' parts, honestly. It's to show, look at all the hard work I did. Look at all of the data that I put in and the work that I put into this. And also, yeah, there's an inference here. Yeah, this is really complex stuff. I know you're going to take this home. Now, he's never going to admit this publicly, but what he's thinking, he's hoping that you're thinking, you're never going to understand all this, all these graphs and charts and all that. And so that just shows you that you're going to need to hire the person who put that together, because I'm the only one who's going to understand how the sausage is made here. I'm the only one who understands the mechanical part of this. Oh, honey, we better hire this guy. Hogwash. Make the complex simple. You know where you want to go in life. You put together a plan, and yeah, there are a lot of moving parts. I don't mean to diminish all the important parts to this. You know, here's the thing. Peter Lynch, the great mutual fund manager of Fidelity Magellan fame back in the 70s and 80s especially, Peter Lynch, he said something that I'll never forget, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, if you cannot explain to me why I should buy a stock by using a crayon and write it on an envelope, if you can't explain to me why I should buy a stock using these two things, I don't want to hear about it. What is he saying? Keep it simple, stupid, right? That's the ultimate of that mantra. Lynch also was famous for saying back in the day when we actually had malls everywhere, and he would say, buy what you know. You go into a mall, look where the lines are, and look where they are not. And if you find some place that you have visited a few times and it's always really crowded, you might be onto something, especially if you use the product and you like it. Now, yeah, you do a little extra research. You don't want to make sure it's a cult stock or whatever, and it's somewhat reasonably valued. Maybe even a little overvalued is okay because everyone loves it. But his point is very, very clear. Don't overcomplicate it. And this is one of the most famous mutual fund managers and stock analysts in the world. Envelope, crayon. Think about that as you put together your own financial plan. It's easier to follow. And if you ever get handed a book like that, don't be afraid to say, can you give me like a 2-page summary on that? Do not be impressed at all when someone is handing you some big document of a financial plan that you don't understand.
All right, back live in the KMOX studio, and I'm overdue for a break. I want to end by saying a few things related to that, so stick with us. Break right now. We'll come back with more at your service after this. Welcome back, folks. In the brief amount of time left, let me just say that tomorrow, the next Simon Says podcast is going to be on tips on how to pick a financial advisor, if that's what you're even looking to do. And really, there's one particular thing that nobody ever talks about. When people look at things that are the most important factors to consider when hiring an advisor, there are the obvious ones. But one in particular is what I would think is the number one factor, and I'll explain that. And by the way, this is not self-serving. When you see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with myself on this. And so how do you find these things? You just go to YouTube. This is a YouTube channel. And in the search bar, you just put in Simon's Says Podcast, S-I-M-O-N-S. Says podcast, and my logo is a caricature of my bald head and a microphone, so you can't miss it. By the way, this thing has been out less than a year, and just last week we went over a total of 100,000 views on the videos that I put up there in the last 10 months or so. I don't know, I know Kim Kardashian gets 100,000 in 2 seconds. I get it. So that's not going to be impressive to a lot of people. But for a nobody like me who just talks about boring things like investing in finance, 100,000 views, I think that's pretty good. And we're just getting started. And I've got a lot of really grandiose ideas as we go forward. So please check it out and subscribe if you would be so kind. All right, folks, next time I'm on is actually in 9 days. Yes, I'm going to be on that last day of February. This is a leap year. So next Thursday, February 29th, tune us in, and I'll be on to talk about more things at your service. Dave Simon's checking out. Have a great week and into the weekend. Take care. Welcome back, folks. In the brief amount of time left, let me just say that tomorrow, the next Simon Says podcast is going to be on tips on how to pick a financial advisor, if that's what you're even looking to do. And really, there's one particular thing that nobody ever talks about. When people look at things that are the most important factors to consider when hiring an advisor, there are the obvious ones, but one in particular is what I would think is the number one factor, and I'll explain that. And by the way, this is not self-serving. When you see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with myself on this. And so how do you find these things? You just go to YouTube. This is a YouTube channel, and in the search bar, you just put in Simon's Says Podcast, S-I-M-O-N-S. Says podcast, and my logo is a caricature of my bald head and a microphone, so you can't miss it. By the way, this thing has been out less than a year, and just last week we went over a total of 100,000 views on the videos that I put up there in the last 10 months or so. I don't know, I know Kim Kardashian gets 100,000 in 2 seconds. I get it. So that's not going to be impressive to a lot of people. But for a nobody like me who just talks about boring things like investing in finance, 100,000 views, I think that's pretty good. And we're just getting started. And I've got a lot of really grandiose ideas as we go forward. So please check it out and subscribe if you would be so kind. All right, folks, next time I'm on is actually in 9 days. Yes, I'm going to be on that last day of February. This is a leap year. So next Thursday, February 29th, tune us in, and I'll be on to talk about more things at your service. Dave Simon's checking out. Have a great week and into the weekend. Take care.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.